WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3.
You are listening to Songs You Know by Artists You Love. You're listening to Songs You Know by Artists You Love. You are listening to Songs You Know by Artists You Love.
On the legality of ballot selfies in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, the AP reports, law prohibits someone from revealing their ballot, quote, letting it be known how, end quote, they're, quote, about to vote, end quote. But officials recently released guidance on electronic items in polling places that noted the recent court cases that, quote, found a First Amendment right to take ballot selfies, end quote. Again, that's from the Associated Press on October 23rd of this year. As the law varies from state to state, please be safe. Check before snapping that ballot selfie, either in the polling place or at home with an absentee ballot.
Thank you for joining us on this special election edition of Songs You Know by Artists You Love. In celebration of the end of this election season, we want to spend some time to thank those people in our community that helped make our democracy a great one. These Pittsburgh residents went out of their way to contribute extra democracy to our political system. We are grateful for the scale of democracy you have contributed. It is truly impressive. Each person on this list will be awarded 2,700 commemorative democracy dollars to honor each real dollar they contributed to a presidential nominee's campaign. So if you know any of these people, please tell them to come on down to the WRCT studios to collect their democracy dollars. And because this isn't an exhaustive list, if you know you contributed the highest possible amount to a candidate's campaign, please come claim your award. Let's begin the thanks. Thank you, John F. Schock, for your $2,700. Thank you, Alexandra Hines, self-employed ex-psychologist, for your $2,700. Thanks, Robert Array Jr., for your $2,700. Thank you, Clifford Levine, for your $2,700. Thank you, David Scaife, business owner, for your $2,700. Thank you, Christopher Hines, for your $2,700. Thank you, Clifford R. Rowe, CEO of Trumbull and P.J. Dick, for your $2,700. Thank you, Stephen Recht, attorney, for your $2,700. Thank you, Louis R. J., for your $2,700. Thank you, Bhaskaran Pillai, chairman of the Tripura Foundation, for your $2,700. Thank you, Megan Donnelly, for your $2,700. Thank you, David Kremen, for your $2,700. Thank you, Kathleen Gallagher, for your $2,700. Thank you, Nancy Bernstein, for your $2,700. Thank you, Gail Klingensmith, owner of P&G Industries, for your $2,700. Thank you, John Benassi, for your $2,700. Thank you, Stephen C. Frobauk, president of the Anderson Group, for your $2,700. Thank you, Marion Arai, for your $2,700. Thank you, Dusty Kirk, partner at Reed Smith Center, for your $2,700. Thank you, Robert Arai Jr., for your $2,700. Thank you, Charles Zapala, co-founder and chairman of the Summa Group, for your $2,700. Thank you, J.C. Forrest, president of the Rosebud Mining Company, for your $2,700. Thank you, Pamela J. Cohen, owner of P&G Industries, for your $2,700. Thank you, Daniel B. Long, self-employed marketing, for your $2,700. Thank you, Bernice Davis, for your $2,700. Thank you, Franco Harris, for your $2,700. Thank you, Lisa Cranmer, for your $2,700. Thank you, Timothy Fisher, for your $2,700. Thank you, Frank Calandra, president of Genmar, for your $2,700. Thank you, Audrey Fisher, philanthropist at Audrey Hillman Fisher Foundation, for your $2,700. Thank you, Robert W. Cranmer, for your $2,700. Thank you, Ellen Kessler, community volunteer, for your $2,700. Thank you, Pittsburgh Sustainability PAC, for your $2,700. Thank you, Charles Sanders, owner and chief executive officer of Urban Lending Solutions, for your $2,700. Thank you, Thomas Donahue, investment officer at EquityNet, for your $2,700. Thank you, Lisa Wilbon, president at Mortgage Staffing Solutions, for your $2,700. Thank you, James Agra, CEO of Triangle Tech Group, for your 2700. Thank you, Patricia Seiger, consultant, for your 2700. Thank you, Edwin Bognar, executive at Bognar & Company, for your 2700. Thank you, Arlene Weissman, homemaker, for your 2700. Thank you, Cynthia Bognar, executive at Bognar & Co., for your 2700. Thank you, Frank Rath, manufacturing executive at Spang & Co., for your 2700. Thank you, Gregory Scott, management consultant at Deloitte & Touche, for your 2700. Thank you, Joseph McDonoghue, attorney at Buchanan Ingersoll, for your 2700. Thank you, Edith Shapira, MD, for your 2700. Thank you, Thomas L. Vankirk, for your 2700. Thank you, James C. Forrest, president at the Rosebud Mining Company, for your 2700. Thank you, Diane Blanton, for your 2700. Thank you, Jeremy Shapira, senior director and HR business partner at Giant Eagle, for your 2700. Thank you, Neil Notkin, managing director at Union Site Management LLC, for your 2700. Thank you, Elaine Bellin, president of Paragon Foods, for your 2700. Thank you, Ann Lewis, board chair at Oxford Development Company, for your 2700. Thank you, Tony Calandra, senior VP of international sales at Genmar Corporation, for your 2700. Thank you, Lori Plung, homemaker, for your 2700. Thank you, Carl Calandra, executive vice president at Genmar, for your 2700. Thank you, Rosemary Calandra, homemaker, for your 2700. Thank you, William Benter, for your 2700. Thank you, John Poland, VP of Sales at Genmar Corporation, for your 2700. Thank you, Vivian Bentar, homemaker, for your 2700. Thank you, James Rohr, Chairman and Chief Executive Officer, PNC, for your 2700. Thank you, Neil Busis, physician at UPMC, for your 2700. Thank you all for contributing $2,700 to the campaigns of the candidates of your choice. We'd also like to extend two special thanks to those that didn't contribute to a major party candidate. While they didn't contribute $2,700, they did contribute a very large sum. And we would like to thank John Oliver III and Stephen McCarthy for your $500. Please come on down to the WRCT studios to collect your commemorative democracy dollars in the amount of either $500 or $2,700. If you know any of these people, or if you yourself were not included on the list, but you know you contributed $2,700, please come on down to receive your honorary gift.
You are listening to Songs You Know by Artists You Love. You are listening to Songs You Know by Artists You Love. You are listening to Songs You Know by Artists You Love.
The Carnation Consent Hour, sponsored by the Carnation Company, usually heard at this time, and the Fred Waring Program, sponsored by General Electric, usually heard 30 minutes from now, will not be heard at this time.
You are about to hear a debate between Governor Thomas E. Dewey and Harold E. Stassen, candidates for the Republican nomination to the presidency of the United States. They will be introduced by the chairman of Multnomah County Republican Central Committee, Mr. Donald R. Van Boskirk of Portland, who is acting as moderator for tonight's broadcast. Now, Mr. Van Boskirk.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. For the past few weeks, Oregonians have been participating in a red-hot political campaign between Governor Thomas E. Dewey of New York and former Governor Harold E. Stassen of Minnesota. As the campaign has progressed, it appears that the primary issue on which these candidates are diametrically opposed is, should the Communist Party in the United States be outlawed? So that these opposing viewpoints might be heard consecutively, the Multnomah County Republican Central Committee is sponsoring this debate. And now, speaking for the affirmative, is the Honorable Harold E. Stassen of Minnesota.
Chairman Van Boskirk, Your Excellency Governor Dewey, my fellow citizens, during the recent war, I saw many young Americans killed. I watched ships explode and burn, planes crash in flames. Men, our men, my friends, fall. I met thousands of prisoners of war as they were liberated from indescribable conditions of imprisonment and suffering. I viewed the devastation of cities and of farms. In the midst of these experiences, I thought more deeply than ever before of the way in which men should live, of the preciousness of freedom, of the future of America. I made a quiet resolve to do everything within my power after VJ Day to keep America free and to prevent a third world war. Four principal objectives appeared to be essential. First, to maintain a sound and humanitarian free American economy, which would include avoiding inflation booms with their out-of-reach prices, preventing depression crashes with unemployment, wisely developing the superb natural resources of water, forests, and minerals, constantly improving housing and health, establishing a fair balance between capital and labor, assuring to agriculture a fair share of the national income, advancing in civil rights, decreasing discrimination and bigotry, and constantly endeavoring to win happier homes throughout America. And second, to keep America and other free countries strong in a military sense, especially in the air. And third, to safeguard against the undermining and overthrow of free governments and to defend the freedom of men. And fourth, to establish a strong organization of United Nations for peace and economic progress without a veto and with a real system of justice. With a firm conviction that an open and frank discussion would lead to better answers of the manner in which to make progress toward these objectives, I've talked directly to the people of my views and invited their questions and welcomed any opportunity to meet with others in a joint discussion. This is the background for my Oregon campaign. I've submitted to the people of Oregon my position on the building of the resources and the rapid development of the Columbia Basin and the Willamette Valley, the need for long-range programs in agriculture and forestry, and the importance of that fair balance between management and labor, and of progress in housing and health. I presented my view of a strong foreign policy for America, with alert and trained military position, the Marshall Plan, leadership toward amending and strengthening the United Nations Charter, the stopping of shipments of machine tools and electrical equipment to Russia, the direct outlawing of the communist organizations in America and in the free countries, and positive action in ideals and moral standards and justice on a worldwide basis. I've presented my optimism, my hope that such policies would lead to a future of peace and of progress for ourselves and for others without the tragedy of a third world war. One part of my proposed program for America has been directly challenged. It's been challenged by a man for whom I have great respect, a man who is a fellow Republican and who has joined in campaigns in Wisconsin and Nebraska and now in Oregon. Tonight, we meet in a joint radio discussion of that one point. I will give you my position on this one point in detail and give the reasons why I have reached this conclusion. Now, I recognize full well that there are some who very sincerely oppose my position in this matter. I'm not certain of the reasons for Mr. Henry Wallace's opposition to my position, but I am confident that Governor Dewey's opposition is completely sincere. But I respectfully ask him to reconsider his opposition, as I believe he is mistaken. His position, in effect, means a soft policy toward communism, and all the evidence around the world shows that a soft policy wins neither peace, nor respect, nor improvement from the communists. We must not coddle communism with legality. They grasp every concession made and continue their undermining action. In order that we might narrow down our discussion and find out just exactly what the differences are in our positions, I should like to ask Governor Dewey specifically these questions. One, do you agree that the communist organizations throughout the world are directed from Moscow? Two, Do you agree that the objective of the communist organizations throughout the world is to overthrow free governments, destroy liberties, and bring the countries under the domination of the Kremlin? 3. Do you agree that communist organizations throughout the world are a menace to future peace? 4. Do you agree that because of this menace to world peace, it is necessary that we require American young men to serve in our armed forces and to take military training? To make my position then clear, I say very definitely that it does not add up to me to say that loyal, patriotic young Americans must of necessity be drafted, that their liberties must be taken away in order to make America strong in the face of the menace to peace caused by communist organizations, but that none of the privileges and blessings of legality should be taken away from the communist organizations themselves, which in fact are causing the menace that makes the drafting necessary.
Thank you, Governor Stassen. And now, speaking for the negative, is the Honorable Thomas E. Dewey, Governor of New York.
Mr. Von Buskirk, Mr. Stassen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to participate in this discussion with my distinguished confrere and have listened with great interest to his eloquent discussion of the subject and of all of the other matters which he brought up.
I went to the Hillary rally at Heinz Field on Friday, November 4th, just 5 days out from a spectacularly divisive election. I wanted to speak with some of the people who decided to spend their morning waving signs and shouting things at other people who almost certainly disagreed with them. It was a nice day outside, and the line to get in through security wound around the building. A few people stood with Trump signs, anemically holding them up as the long line of Hillary supporters snaked past them. They weren't talking with the crowd, and the crowd wasn't talking with them either. Standing there, they seemed out of place. I walked over to hear what had brought them out.
I've known Hillary for a long time, since 2000, and since the Hillary bill was in, and I was never for them. And we need a change. America needs to be good again. Go back to our conservative ways. Go back to God. Not make this a free-for-all. It's just terrible what they've done, the liberals.
It's interesting that this voter said her choice of candidate was based on religion, though Donald Trump is not exactly known for his piety. The other man carrying a Trump sign had a more economic rationale.
Do you have a time in mind if you think of, like, when America was great? Like, what do you picture?
Anytime the economy's been strong, balanced budgets. So, you know, I think first and foremost, mid-80s, when we were, the economy's growing, we were pretty secure, the end of the Cold War, you know, mid to late 80s, jobs are being added.
It's interesting because by many measures, the economy is strong these days. Wages have been rising since what this man regards as the golden days of the mid-80s. The average wage today is about 35% higher than it was then, in real terms, according to the St. Louis Fed. In 1989, the unemployment rate dipped about as low as 5%, and it's gone up and down in the meantime, but today it's even lower than the best months of the 80s. Anti-abortion activists were there, holding signs featuring color images of bloody fetuses in different stages of development. They are very committed to their cause. They feel beleaguered by the abuse from people quietly walking by, some of whom shout angry things. The whole time I'm there, I don't see any discussion in reasonable tones, only shouting back and forth. This isn't the venue for respectful disagreement. I'm wondering where is.
How's it going today?
She said it's $30 million from Planned Parenthood.
Is this the sort of interaction you usually have?
Very aggressive from the liberal left. Yes. At every Republican rally that we're standing in line, the protesters are aggressive to us. And then when we come to show up to be silently taking a stand for something that we have a right to take a stand with, they're very aggressive.
Here's the disconnect. This woman feels like she's doing something reasonable and respectable, and apparently some of the people walking past don't. Regardless of what differences they have, I don't think anybody's learning anything here. Another activist brought her six kids, including a baby in arms, to protest against abortion rights. One of her daughters had some tough experiences, which she was telling me about, and her mom was commiserating.
Brainwashed, retarded.
They called you retarded. They called you names. I'm so sorry.
There's this one guy that just ran up and started screaming at me. I don't even know what he said, though.
That's really common. They're so loud and so aggressive, and they yell over each other. I can't even hear them.
Either they don't see their signs with six-inch letters and pictures of bloody fetuses as aggressive or loud, or they believe it's aggression in the service of a greater good. And the greater good, maybe unsurprisingly, is religious in motivation.
They're trying to take the Christian voice, and we're not letting them do it.
This woman is very frustrated with the Pittsburgh public school system, and among other complaints, she resents that Muslim holidays are listed on the Pittsburgh public school's calendar and Christian ones aren't. At the calendar I looked at, there are Hindu, Muslim, Persian, Jewish, and Christian holidays. Christmas is there, and Easter Sunday is listed, though, of course, it's not on a school day. But I guess leaving out Lent feels like a great affront to her. Another salvo in the cultural war some people think is being fought.
Revelation chapter 12 is upon us. Okay? Everything is happening in Russia right now, Middle East.
This man is wearing what looks like a homemade Catholic vestment smock, with a large Virgin Mary on the front and a pronounced gold collar. He's using a megaphone and not making much sense, though I'm impressed how much he's not only borrowing Donald Trump's language, but even his rhetorical style.
We're going to bring jobs back. Yeah. Trust me. We're going to get rid of Obamacare. Forget about Obamacare. Obamacare's a disaster. The premiums are just unbelievable. Okay?
A few minutes later, I come back after the shouting is over and speak in a regular voice with him. He looks me right in the eyes and seems friendly and reasonable. But listening to his words, it's hard for me to understand where he's coming from.
If you could sit down and talk to Trump, what would you want to ask him about?
First, I would thank him, you know, for what he's doing for this country, for standing up to Planned Parenthood, standing up to the corruption in the government. I would like just thank him. Before I got into anything, I would like to thank him. And I would probably talk to him about the Blessed Virgin Mary, because he's not Catholic, he's Protestant. And I think that he obviously loves beautiful women. And so I think he might be real open and receptive to a relationship with Mary on a spiritual level.
Then I have a very surprising conversation with a man handing out business cards to people in line.
What is this?
It's a cybersecurity human rights issue I've been working on for about 5 years now. I think the NFL should tell fans that if they ever have to evacuate a place like this, they don't use cell phones. You know how everybody has a cell phone in their hands? Might be a good idea to just share that little bit of information.
That if you have to evacuate the stadium, don't use your phone.
Well, you would never use cell phones to convey that information. You would use the public address and the Jumbotron. You alert the ushers. There's a very important protocol in place.
Doesn't make much sense to me, but apparently he's very excited about this common sense public safety information. You can read all about it at the Artificially Generated Stampede Awareness Foundation's website, agsaf.org. I'm not making this up. While speaking with one of the anti-abortion activists, he surprised me by mentioning something he'd always been curious about.
I never knew what onomatopoeia meant, and that's other that your word, I don't know.
Would you like to learn what onomatopoeia means?
I would. And what did you say?
Retort is the other thing.
Oh, that's going against, going back.
Yeah.
I know what that means.
Okay, onomatopoeia.
Go.
Think of beep, beep, boop, boop. Okay? If you were to spell those words out, B-E-E-P, B-O-O-P, those are spellings of sounds. That's onomatopoeia.
I got it.
You got it.
That's easy. So where was I in high school?
I don't know.
When they did all of those. Onomatopoeia, there's about five or six of them that I didn't learn.
What are some other words you'd like to learn?
I can't remember.
I'm so glad we're having this opportunity.
Thank you. I'm so glad you're here.
Well, if you think of any and you see me walking by,
let's
talk about it.
I'll yell out.
Good. But don't yell something about abortion.
I will.
Yell something about onomatopoeia.
You will know who it is. Except they'll say I'm cursing.
Yeah, they might. Thank you.
Good seeing you.
A friendly conversation about poetry vocabulary with an old man holding up a sign with a huge picture of a bloody fetus. Who knows? I guess in the end, some sort of peculiar civility wins out sometimes.
Examination. Question: where did you live in November? Redacted. Answer: in the city of Rochester. Question: do you know the defendants? Redacted, redacted, and redacted. Answer: I do. Question: do you know whether or not they acted as a board of registry for the registration of voters in the first election district, 8th Ward, City of Rochester, preceding the last general election? Answer: I know they acted at the November election. Question: did they act as a board of registry preceding the election? Answer: yes, sir. Question: was you present on any day when they were registering voters? Answer: I was present on Friday mostly, and on Saturday. Question: were all three of these defendants there? Answer: they were the most of the time. Question: receiving the names of persons who claimed to be entitled to vote? Answer: yes, sir. Question: and taking a registration list? Answer: yes, sir. Question: did you see redacted and other redacted there upon that day? Answer: I saw redacted there on the first day, and others. Question: did you see there, upon that day, the following named persons: redacted, 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 redacted? Answer: I saw a number of them, I didn't see the whole of them. Question: do you know by sight any of those persons whose names I have read? Answer: I know a number of them. Question: did you see a number of them there? Answer: I did. Question: did you see any of them register on that day? Answer: I did. Question: have you a list of those that you saw register? Answer: I have, producing a paper. Question: please state to the jury, those that you saw register on that day. Answer: I can hardly recollect which day they registered. Question: either of the days preceding the election, when this board was in session. Answer: redacted, 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 redacted. Question: what paper are you reading from? Answer: from a memorandum I made at the time. No, it is a paper that was given on the last day of registry. Question: a paper that you made yourself? Answer: the names that I took. Question: on the last day of registry? Answer: yes, sir. Question: state them. Answer: the names of the parties that I found on the poll list as having registered. I didn't see them all register myself, but I did a good portion of them. Question: I am asking you to state who you saw register. I don't ask you who were registered before your attention was called to the list. Answer: well, I saw redacted register, redacted, 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 redacted. I think I saw redacted register, redacted, redacted. Those I recollect, I was better acquainted with those than with the others. Question: at the time you saw redacted register, were the three inspectors, redacted, redacted, and redacted, present? Answer: some of the time I saw all three, I think, there. At other times I saw but two of them, sometimes redacted and redacted, sometimes redacted and redacted, sometimes redacted and redacted. I think they took turns when they went to dinner. Question: on the day of election, were you at the polls? Answer: I was. Question: did you see any of these redacted vote on the day of election? Answer: I did. Question: were these defendants present when their votes were received? Answer: they were. Question: and did they receive their votes? Answer: they did. Question: who did you see vote or offer their votes upon the day of election? Answer: redacted, 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 redacted. I recollect seeing those redacted. In fact, I think I saw the whole of them vote with the exception of two, but I will not be positive on that point. Question: but you saw those whose names you have given? Answer: yes, sir. Question: do you know how many tickets they voted or offered to the inspectors? Answer, I think they voted for tickets. Question, do you know how these tickets were endorsed, or what they were? Called? Answer, I was not near enough to see the endorsement. I noticed which boxes they went into. Question, upon the day of election were the defendants redacted, redacted, and redacted, acting as inspectors of election? Answer, yes, sir. Question, receiving votes? Answer, yes, sir. Question, and were acting as inspectors of election when these redacted voted? Answer, yes, sir. Question, about what time in the day, or what time in the morning was it that these redacted voted? Answer, I think there had been but a very few votes received in the morning when a number of them voted. Question, well, was it about 5 o'clock in the morning very early? Answer, no, sir, not so early as that. The probability is that there was not over 20 or 25 votes received before they presented theirs. Conceded, that the women named in the indictment were women on the 5th day of November, 1872. Judge, I propose to call redacted as to the facts of her voting on the question of the intention or belief under which she voted. Redacted, she is not competent as a witness in her own behalf. The court so held. Defendant rests. Judge, will the clerk poll the jury? The court, no. Gentlemen of the jury, you are discharged.
You are listening to Songs You Know by Artists You Love. You are listening to Songs You Know by Artists You Love. You are listening to Songs You Know by Artists You Love.
A sample ballot for Pittsburgh's 14th Ward, 7th Precinct, which includes the campus of Carnegie Mellon University, courtesy of the County of Allegheny, Pennsylvania. John P. DeFazio, Sam DeMarco, Rich Fitzgerald, Board of Elections of the County of Allegheny, PA. Official sample ballot and voting machine guide. County of Allegheny, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, General Election, November 8, 2016. Voting with the ES and S iVotronic voting machine. 1. Activate ballot. A poll worker will activate your electronic ballot. After reviewing the instruction screen, press, quote, view ballot, end quote, to begin voting. 2. Select straight party, optional. To select the straight party option, touch anywhere in the white box surrounding the party designation of your choice. This will give a vote to all the candidates running under that party. You may also split your ballot by selecting the straight party option and then voting for individual candidates of any other party or body. 3. Select candidates. To select your candidates, touch anywhere in the white box surrounding the candidate's name. To deselect, touch the box again. The iVotronic will not allow you to overvote an office. 4. Review ballot. After completing the last ballot page, touch, quote, review, end quote, and carefully read the review screens. To change or make a new choice, touch anywhere in the white box surrounding the candidate's name. The office contest will reappear. Deselect the candidate and select a new one of your choice. Touch, quote, review, end quote, to return to the review screens. 5. Casting ballot. After reviewing the last review page, the, quote, vote, end quote, button will begin to flash red. When you are satisfied with your selections, press the red, quote, vote, end quote, button. A confirmation screen will appear. To make a change, touch, quote, return to ballot, end quote. To cast your ballot, touch, quote, confirm, end quote, on the screen, or the red, quote, vote, end quote, button. Quote, your ballot has been cast. Thank you for voting, end quote, means that you have properly cast your ballot and you may now leave the voting machine. 2016 General, English version, ballot style number 750, page 1 of 3. Official general election ballot, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, County of Allegheny, November 8, 2016. Straight party option. Democratic, Republican, Constitution, Green, Libertarian. Presidential electors. Vote for the candidates of the one party for president and vice president. Or insert the names of candidates. Hillary Clinton, Tim Kaine, Democratic. Donald J. Trump, Michael R. Pence, Republican. Daryl L. Castle, Scott N. Bradley, Constitution. Jill Stein, Ajamu Baraka, Green. Gary Johnson, William Weld, Libertarian. Write-in. United States Senator, 6-year term, vote for one. Katie McGinty, Democratic. Pat Toomey, Republican. Edward T. Clifford III, Libertarian. Write-in. Next page. 2016 General, English version, ballot style number 750, page 2 of 3. Official general election ballot, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, County of Allegheny, November 8, 2016. Attorney General, 4-year term, vote for one. Josh Shapiro, Democratic. John Rafferty, Republican. Write-in. Auditor General, 4-year term, vote for one. Eugene A. DePasquale, Democratic. John Brown, Republican. John J. Sweeney, Green. Roy A. Minette, Libertarian. Write-in. State Treasurer, 4-year term, vote for one. Joe Torsella, Democratic. Otto Voigt, Republican. Kristen Combs, Green. James Babb, Libertarian. Write-in. Representative in Congress, 14th District. 2-year term, vote for one. Mike Doyle, Democratic. Lenny McAllister, Republican. Write-in. Senator in the General Assembly, 43rd District, 4-year term, vote for one. J. Costa Jr., Democratic. Write-in. Back or next page. 2016 General, English version, ballot style number 750, page 3 of 3. Official general election ballot, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, County of Allegheny, November 8, 2016. Representative in the General Assembly, 23rd District, 2-year term, vote for one. Dan B. Frankel, Democratic, write-in. Constitutional Amendment. Proposed Constitutional Amendment, amending the mandatory judicial retirement age. Shall the Pennsylvania Constitution be amended to require that justices of the Supreme Court, judges, and magisterial district judges be retired on the last day of the calendar year in which they attain the age of 75 years? Yes, no. Back or review. Summary ballot instructions. Press the candidate name or contest title to return to a contest. Vote button will light up when you may cast your ballot. To cast your ballot, touch, quote, confirm, end quote, on the screen or the red, quote, vote, end quote, button. Your ballot has been cast. Thank you for voting.
Want me to say something?
Yeah, would you want to?
I felt like a bad cold.
Oh, it's okay. You have a beautiful voice.
I want to say it's just also deeply sad. I'm sick about what's happening in this country and how this appalling person is representative for the Republican Party. I'm not a Republican myself. Just makes me ill. Ill. Thank you.
Do you have a sound to reflect that
feeling of it being ill.
Assange?
Yes.
Boo-hoo.
What has shocked me and disgusted me most about our political climate over the past 18 months or so, and especially in recent weeks, has been the blatantly hateful rhetoric, the things uttered both by and about our presidential candidates, mainly statements regarding women in the United States today. As a young woman who is in the process of studying for her career, it terrifies me to see that not only is the glass ceiling still ever present, but really how thick it is and how far we have to go in this country. Things like rape culture, sexist remarks, misogyny, issues of autonomy for women, reproductive rights. In some ways, as part of the fourth wave feminist movement, I thought some of these things were over and done with, but they've raised their heads again in recent times, and this concerns me greatly.
No, we cannot have this happen. Get out there and vote. That's it. Just go vote. Do something right. Keep America the way it is.
Okay, I am watching breaking news. The FBI chief, James Comey, just sent out a letter to Congress that all the emails regarding Hillary Clinton and Anthony Weiner have been reviewed. And now pay attention, there is no change in the Clinton probe. In plain words, Hillary has done nothing illegal. Once again, there are no recommendations of charges against her. In last week, we've been led to believe the opposite. This is crazy. What about the damage already done to Hillary and other Democrats in the early voting? And there are only 2 days left to get this out to the voters. I am 66 years old, and I have never seen anything like this. What is going on? What the F is going on?
Thank you.
That's exactly how I feel about it.
And I'm also a CMU student, so I have not got like a lot of time to follow the whole campaign. But then obviously I've seen those debates, and I've been talking to a lot of people. There are a few professors who keep making fun of ideally both the candidates. Uh-huh. And then it's obviously the general trend is that Trump is no one's favorite, of course. And it's like when you have only two options, that's why people might be voting for Hillary. They're not like happy with either of them. But then that's what I've been hearing and reading and listening about. So yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Many counties in North Carolina had only one early voting site the first week. More opened the second week of early voting. No Sunday early voting was scheduled in North Carolina, putting a hitch in the traditional souls to polls, a nonpartisan faith-based program where churches band together to vote after their church service. At the St. Aug versus Shaw football game this weekend, many attendees reported going to early voting but having to leave due to very long lines, more than 1.5 hour wait. There should not be stumbling blocks in the way for individuals to exercise their right to vote.
You can ask me the question again.
Okay. Can you give us a sound that reflects how you feel about the current election?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm always shocked. Like, I thought everybody was like the tribe I grew up in here, you know, in Pittsburgh, but it's obviously not.
Where did you come from?
New York.
Okay, where it was fairly solid. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know. My husband and I were talking about where we have, if we retire somewhere, maybe we got to look at the map and see where they need our votes. Yes. So they need them here in Pennsylvania.
That's true.
It's like, oh, we can't leave then.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I can't leave.
Yeah.
It's too bad. I can't make that sound in a public
place. Ah, there's the sound. That's it.
What? I said, don't ask. I can't make that kind of sound in a public place.
You should note that. Oh, did I not?
The floor combined equally of fear and anger.
You should. Yeah. To note he's working, so he can't say it in his workplace. She, yeah, sorry.
Blah, 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 blah,
All right, here we go. This is so terrifying. What has our country come to? Oh my God. Please vote for Hillary.
Wait.
Oh my God.
Wait, what?
What
did I just say?
Yeah, like anything you want to do, yeah.
Oh my God, I don't know. I have sounds I could use, but none of them describe the political climate.
Okay.
I'll give you one.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Would you be willing to?
I have two parents over there. Since I had to do this, I can have make them do it for you too.
Yeah. Do you think they'd be willing to quietly scream with us?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey.
Expressing my point of view and my preference regarding candidates seeking the office of president is a very easy matter. In fact, a Republican senator, Senator Ted Cruz, many months ago helped me to make up my mind. Ted Cruz, who knows Donald Trump personally, confronted Donald Trump and called him, quote, a pathological liar. He said Donald Trump could take a lie detector test and beat the machine by answering the same question three different ways and pass the test each time. Why? Because in Trump's mind, he wouldn't be lying. Mr. Cruz, Senator Cruz, says Donald Trump has no morals. He's not an immoral man. He's an amoral man. He has no morals. Beyond that, people who know Trump also fear the fact that he has no discipline. He's spastic, should not go near the button that controls nuclear weapons, is deceptive since age one and until now, as he approaches age 70, has had only one thing on his mind, making money by hook or crook. Public service has had no place in his life. Conversely, Hillary Clinton, beginning as a college student, was a public servant, helping the underprivileged in school, with health matters, and in many other ways. While she is not at all a perfect candidate, she is a good person who's done some dumb things. I'd rather support a good person who's made mistakes like Hillary than a crooked person who, because he's crooked, cannot be trusted. It's like choosing one of two airplane pilots. I'd rather fly with Hillary Clinton, who is a skilled, who would be comparable to a skilled pilot, even though she has made personal mistakes in her life, rather than with a pilot who, when likened unto Donald Trump, is unqualified, inept, knows nothing about flying, although he talks as if he does. The choice is easy. Hillary, you have my support.
Hey, Joy. My thoughts on sounds of the election. This election sounds like nails on a chalkboard. It sounds like hope and promise and progress in the form of a ripe tomato sort of thrown to the ground and splattered on the kitchen floor that then somebody comes and steps on over and over again. So it's like... I think this election sounds... It sounds like you get up first thing in the morning and you drink 10 cups of coffee and you don't eat anything, and then you try to sit still, and it's that like hope that helps.
Perfect.
Ugh, this election. Ugh.
And if we can get hold of the Senate and win the Senate with additional four more senators,
then we can get things passed. We haven't been able to pass anything because Congress has been nothing but Republicans, and they haven't wanted to pass a lot of Obama's proposed policies. So I feel very good about the country and look forward to having a woman who's going to make things better for us and who understand women, especially, and our needs. So I feel very good about her.
And yeah, getting I feel in. Pretty right. pretty blah about all of it. It's really just blah. Blah.
Ugh, God.
The sun's shining. What is it? Just
you
the
can
sound.
Just say your sounds, yeah.
Ah! That's all.
Thank you.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light? And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air.
The bombs, yeah.
Rain through the night, that flare was still there.
That flare was still there.
Paula Reed Ward and Rich Lord report in November 3rd's Post-Gazette, page B1, on the proposed amendment to the Pennsylvania Constitution. Quote, "Some criticize the ballot language because it does not explain to voters that the amendment would raise the retirement age to 75 from the current 70. To some, it reads as if it is simply implementing a retirement age of 75. End quote. To summarize, the current retirement age for Supreme Court justices, judges, and magisterial district judges here in the Commonwealth is 70. The proposed constitutional amendment would raise that age to 75.
You are listening to Songs You Know by Artists You Love. You are listening to Songs You Know by Artists You Love. You are listening to Songs You Know by Artists You Love.
Reminder that tomorrow is Election Day. Thanks for listening to the election edition of Songs You Know by Artists You Love. If you see any issues at your polling location or for further questions, you can call 866-R-VOTE. That's 866-O-U-R-V-O-T-E. If you witness any forms of voter intimidation, you can call the Justice Department Voting Rights Hotline at 1-800-253-3931. To find your polling location, to find who's on the ballot, to find out all sorts of information about the election, you can go to vote411.org. That's the League of Women Voters voting hotline. Thanks for listening to Songs You Know by Artists You Love. WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3.